It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome, everybody, to another Wednesday pool list. We have a different scenario. Lex was sick this weekend with a cold or the flu or something. So we have a fantastic guest star, friend of the show, Carlos Alleman. Carlos, you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, kind of tell us about yourself.
Well, Simon and I know each other from going to college, and I'm originally from New York, transplant here due to the Air Force. We both live in Wichita Falls, and I stumbled across the podcast one day looking for a comic book podcast after taking a break from collecting for about 20 years. And I'm listening to it, and the show sound pretty cool, and the guy sounds familiar. And then he starts talking about Wichita Falls. And I was like, oh man, it's a local. That's pretty awesome. And then he starts talking about his wife, Nicole, and then it clicks, and it's my buddy Simon here. And it was a pretty cool time.
Yeah.
But Harry.
I think that's such an interesting story, because I was like, oh yeah, he for some reason knew that I was doing a podcast. You're like, oh no, it was like completely stumbled upon. So that's great. It's good to know that it gets out there somehow.
But yeah, I collect mainly comic books, very few action figures. I do miniature war gaming, so I'm a different spectrum of nerd compared to you guys, but I still like your show.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say that you and I are probably closer on the same spectrum as far as collecting, though. You and Lex definitely are the comic book collectors. I was asked about it today. I was talking about the show at that gaming convention that we had here in Wichita. And this dude was like, oh, yeah, you know, talking about the podcast. He's like, where do you get your comics? Do you order them or whatever? I was like, I'm kind of like the control group. I said, I don't really collect comics. I buy collected editions, but I quit collecting comics because I couldn't collect that much shit anymore, you know? Yeah. And you know,
yeah, I'm kind of the same. I pause one collection to start another collection. And I till recently was playing some Necromunda and Warcry as far as Games Workshop type miniatures games. But that got kind of old for a minute, and I don't have people that reliably play, so I started getting my comics again. Mm-hmm. And it just started with me trying to clean up my collection because my bags and boards were dirty and old, and like I said, I hadn't collected in about 20 years, and so I've been playing catch up for almost a year now.
Yeah, and man, that's crazy. I can't imagine trying to catch up 20 years worth of comic books, but it's cool. It's good that you're filling in the gaps.
I am, and the internet is a great place, and I've been able to find a lot of good stuff and listening to podcasts like yours. And I also like the X-Men podcast that is done by, gosh, I can't remember these people's names right now. I'm sorry. Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men. Have you heard that one?
I have not.
Those guys, they're doing a run from start to finish, all of the X-Men and tie-in stories. And
oh, wow.
So, you know, just trying to catch up with them. And there's a couple of other ones that I listen to, but I won't pimp other people's shows on your show.
No, that's all right. Yeah, no, that sounds like a cool deal. As long as it's not the movies. We can't pimp the movies here because Lex hates the movies. So.
I mean, they have their place. It, you know, some of the movies, I'd like to consider them on par with the 66 Batman show.
Yes,
just kind of goofy, kind of campy, and without them we wouldn't have what we have now, so I have to appreciate them for something.
Yeah, good stepping stones anyway. All right, so Carlos, thanks for being on the show, being a sit-in for
thanks
Lex.
For asking.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we definitely rant back and forth about a lot of stuff that's going on in the community and things, so it's good to have you on.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, appreciate it.
So we're just going to jump into some nerd news which is kind of today. This is going to be old news by the time this gets out, but it was pretty sad news that Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger.
He was a Ranger, right?
Yeah. Green Ranger, White Ranger. He's been in a lot of different of the series. Passed away Saturday night, Sunday morning. So that's kind of
pretty sad.
Yeah, it's rough, and I hear it was a suicide, which is not great. So our hearts go out to their families and the fandom that's out there. And yeah, it's rough. You know, seek out help if you're having some issues with that. It's just weird. It's weird to see. I kind of joke. It's not really a joking matter, but I said somebody needs to guard Mark Hamill because our childhood is, you know, it's slowly slipping away with Batman passing away last week or the week before. So yeah, it's rough. I didn't have like a huge connection other than the Power Rangers I watched when I was a kid, but it's never good to hear that someone had taken their own life. So
no, never.
And to continue that great news, Chris Hemsworth apparently is taking a break from acting. I saw a lot of stories about him. Actually, some people say, yeah, I saw a story that said he wouldn't be Thor again if he's not going to be working with any mad scientist directors again. It seemingly was a shot at Taika Waititi. And then he said, you know, he was like, if I come back as Thor, it's got to be done right. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, you have to work with who you're comfortable with. Oh. And God knows I've worked with people I've not been comfortable with, but you know, I like the two most recent Thor movies. I thought they were fun and entertaining, but if he's not comfortable doing it, by all means, walk away.
Oh, certainly. And I mean, Ragnarok is the all-time great to me. I didn't really dig Love and Thunder that bad or that much, only because it didn't seemingly have it didn't have a mood. You know, it was like,
yeah,
this girl's got cancer. That's sad news, but let's make jokes about how she's like, I just didn't get it. It didn't match up.
Yeah.
With me.
I mean, it seemed to be pulling from a few different storylines into Thor run. The same way Ragnarok pulled from a bunch of different pieces, only they didn't stitch them together as well in that movie.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I enjoyed it and it inspired me to start collecting Thor again.
Well, they definitely, and what's disappointing is we read that Thor run where Jane Foster takes over and she's like ridiculously badass in there. Mm-hmm. And Natalie Portman did fine. I mean, with her, it's funny. You always tell when it's not a great script because she's a fantastic actress. But you see like the prequel Star Wars and you're like, oh, okay, she's actually a good actress. So this is bad script. And kind of the same with that. Like she's a great actress, but then I don't know. At any rate, so, you know, we read that run and it was really, really amazing. So it was just kind of hard to see it falter like that. But at any rate, to finish the sentence that I started with, Chris Hemsworth is taking a break from acting because he has a genetic predisposition for Alzheimer's, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. You would want, in my opinion, you would want to work as hard as you can now. So that later you don't have to worry about money if that comes to pass. But
he's an American. It doesn't matter how much money he has.
Well, yeah, if he's in America, he's Australian.
Oh, he's Australian. Oh, well, again, money's not an issue for the other reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy.
That's pretty sad though. You know, I'm glad he's taking care of himself.
Yeah,
and trying to look out for himself and get treated.
Oh, sure, whatever he can do now, it's really crazy. I don't know if I'd want to know that. You know, I don't know if I'd want to know if I had a genetic disposition for something like Alzheimer's. That's really, you know, they say it's possible. Anyway, we're not going to get into the science of it, but it's crazy. So speaking of crazy science, Indiana Jones 5 is going to be taking place in the early days of the space race. So I heard like early 1960s, mm-hmm. which is pretty crazy. I love Indiana Jones.
I thought
Jones.
They were done with it. I love my Indiana Jones too. And I hear they're bringing Short Round back.
Oh, I'm down for that. He was great. And,
that was pretty sweet. I think it was at either San Diego Comic-Con or one of the recent cons this year. Yeah. There was when they announced it, they had the actor that played Short Round up there taking pictures with Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure either. He was in let's see.
He was in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That's it. I couldn't remember the beginning of that mm-hmm. title. But yeah, which was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm that's exciting. I did not know that he would possibly be in it. So that's really cool. I've seen some photos.
I'm hoping it's more than a cameo.
Yeah. Mads Mikkelsen is going to be in it. The bad guy from, I can't remember the actor's name, but the bad guy from Logan is in it. But
okay,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
that guy,
yeah, blonde random guy. But it looks, early days of Space Race. That's pretty cool. Apparently, it has to do with like how a lot of Operation Paperclip, a lot of Nazis were brought over to the U.S. to work in rockets and engineering and stuff like that. So they kind of brought up like, well, maybe they're not as loyal as you think, which makes a lot of sense. Pretty cool.
Yeah, makes for a good story.
Speaking of making for a good story, maybe I saw the news that a new Escape from New York film is in the work, and it's going to be directed by Radio Silence. I don't know what that is. It's Matt Bettinelli, Ulpin, Tyler Gillette, and Chad Villeya. I just butchered the hell out of those names. But they're set to direct. So what do you think about that? Are you a big Escape from New York fan? Like the Kurt Russell?
Escape from New York came out when I was a kid. And it was one of those movies where I have a real problem with movies made in the 70s and early 80s. Because everybody's just really greasy and dirty looking. And Escape from New York was one of those where I watched it. And it was kind of cool. And then there's that dirty aspect of it that I just couldn't get behind. The later one that wasn't as good, Escape from LA, was better because everybody looked like they showered.
Yeah, that's what, speaking of that, that's why I always thought professional wrestling was really gross, because I'm like, why are they wet? Why is everyone wet all the time? Is that supposed to be sweat? Looks gross. So, yeah.
I spoke to someone a long time ago that's into film, and he told me that it was the type of film that they used that made everything dirty looking.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, movie magic being what it is today, not what it was back then, they didn't think to, dab everybody and cover them in makeup to make them not look so sweaty.
Yeah.
But well, all of those movies, the Charles Bronson movies, the Clint Eastwood movies, they're all awesome. And I just have a problem with them because they're nasty.
Well, it's kind of funny with Escape from New York too, because I think part of the charm of that movie is how it was kind of low budge, high budge movie. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous premise.
Yeah.
I think it's Escape from LA where he's surfing. But at any rate, but they're all pretty, it's just one of those goofy ass movies. It's kind of, when you think of Kurt Russell, it's kind of funny to think of like the legacy of weird movies that he had made, like not great B movies that he made. But I don't know. We'll see. I hope they don't try to make it too serious, because it's not, you're going to ruin it. If you do that.
They've got to lean into the silly.
Kind of like RoboCop. The newest RoboCop was too serious for a RoboCop movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why no one really remembers it.
Really. And when I saw Michael Keaton was on the cast for that, I was like, oh, okay, I like him. And then we watch it and it's like, oh.
I still like him, but just forget he's in this one.
Yeah.
Because we'll already did. Yeah. I forgot until you just said it.
Yeah, we'll just move on past that. So another interesting story, which I'm kind of curious about this in general, because the expanded Spider-Man universe that's owned by Sony, I don't know where any of this is going, how interesting it's going to be, or how they're going to make these individual movies without the most popular character. You know, Venom did okay, but not like the great movie. It's a fun, like, popcorn movie.
Yeah. Well, I haven't even seen the second one yet.
It is.
That's why. Yeah. Every time I bring it up, that's what I hear.
It is worse than the first, which is hard to say. So there's a Silk series, will be titled Silk Spider Society, and it will release on both MGM Plus and Amazon Prime Video. And Angela Kang will serve as a showrunner. So I know almost nothing about Silk other than the book that I've read with her and Spider-Man, and they're constantly just trying to hump each other because they're just trying to make Spider-Baby. So I don't, I don't know. This could be interesting, but again, it's like the Madam Web movie that's coming out. Like, what is this about?
Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't know how you're going to have her in a book without Spider-Man, because apparently they're so drawn to each other that it becomes an issue. And then Morlun, the big bad villain, he's coming after her. And that's the whole Spider-Verse coming to an end, dark web series that they have coming out now, isn't it? It's all kind of tied into that.
You know, honestly, you would know. I have no idea. I didn't know that I knew that they were continuing the Spider-Verse stuff, which, God, that series, I love that book, or I love that series, but it's so hard to watch, like, all your childhood Spider-Mans just get brutally murdered.
I'm trying to catch up to everything. And again, you know, after taking that long hiatus from collecting, it's when I opened up apps to figure out what books I needed to collect and read and in what order, it was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough. That 2010s, late 2000s was a pretty rough time, because there was just tons of stuff being put out that the numbering system doesn't make sense. And then they bring it back to the original numbers about halfway through a series. And it took me a minute to figure out what I needed to buy.
Yeah, they did like an onboarding thing for a little while too. I remember, like, oh, if you haven't collected before, you can get this Venom 1.5, and it kind of explains up to this point, and then you can collect everything afterwards. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Collecting's hard sometimes.
It really is. It's a burden.
Yeah. It is. But I'm willing to take it.
It's my cross to bear. One thing interesting about that, this was part of the same thing, but Phil Lord and Chris Miller will executive produce the series, as well as more Spider-Man TV spinoffs. So, hey, I'm going to be perked up if they have the Toey Spider-Man again, but other than that, I don't know. I don't know if I care, but it is cool that those guys, I think they produced or were the executive producers of the Spider-Verse movie. So that's kind of cool that they might be helming that whole thing.
Yeah, I'm excited for the sequel to Spider-Verse as well.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of helped spark that joy again for comic book collecting.
Oh, definitely. And I didn't, when that movie, that was kind of like Scott Pilgrim to me. Like, I didn't know anything about it going in. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was a little bit about Miles, which is one of my favorite iterations of the character. And I was just... I was stunned at how good it was. I really did not know what to expect with this movie. And being a Sony Spider-Man movie, I was like, oh, this is going to be stupid. They're going to ruin this character.
And I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, it's so good. It's one of the few movies I've seen probably 10 or more times. Mm-hmm. It's so good. So I'm with you. I'm really excited to see. And I love how they're doing to some of the characters, like Cyborg Spider-Man's like a lady, and it's like a like huge, you know, not just not just one robotic arm. So
I'm excited to see 2099 also.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love 2099 and Oscar Isaac. He's great. So, So
anything other happening in action figures? Cause I like looking at them, but I don't collect them very often. I just get my favorites.
Well, there's some really interesting stuff happening with like Marvel Legends. You know, I haven't been collecting a lot of them because they've started putting out these like fan channel, which I just learned what this was. Fan channels, basically Amazon, GameStop, stuff like that, like these extraneous distributors. But these fan channel multi-packs. So they just came out with Venom, Riot, and I can't remember the other one, but like this three-pack costs $70, and then they're mm-hmm. releasing this X-Men five-pack that costs like $180 and
yeah,
or whatever. They're putting out a lot of these big multi-packs, and it's like, damn, dude, I can't afford this shit. Like, yeah. Why are y'all making this so expensive?
They're trying to tap into those people that like to collect the really expensive ones, like what Mezco, aren't they known for making really nice detailed figures, but for a pretty nice detail price?
Oh yeah, they're definitely premium. Yeah,
so I think they're trying to take a little bit out of that market, because mm-hmm. people are willing to spend money on those things, and you know, secondary market action figures are selling for quite a bit, and so
sure.
if they put out a few high priced ones here and there, that, you know, just to test the waters and see what the market will bear.
Well, and it is kind of interesting, because like, you know, it is a three pack for $70, so that's still cheaper than Mezco, right? Mm-hmm. But they also, you know, they did the three pack, but it doesn't equal out. I don't think $70. It's like almost $80, so that one's a little better on price for three when there's a bigger figure in there. But mm-hmm. you know, they did the Homecoming No Way Home three pack with the Toby and Garfield and Holland Spider-Man in there. No alt head sculpts of the actors. But they did that three pack, and that was like $86. It's like, no, mm-hmm. math does not add up for this basic ass Spider-Man figure. So I don't know. Hasbro's kind of taking the piss out of the game. It's becoming less fun to get those figures that people get because they're cheaper, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for a Marvel Legends Daredevil the other day, and I'm not looking for it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you get, it's part of, I think if you, it's like a subscription service with Marvel, you can get a yellow Daredevil exclusive with that, but you have to sign up for the service. So it's like $60. They released a three pack of them with the new Daredevil mm-hmm. body, which was great. But that one was again high, and I don't like the colorways of those, of that Elektra or that Bullseye. So I was like,
yeah. Wasn't it a white Elektra? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the new Elektra costume in a Marvel Legends figure.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, they know that Wolverine and Spider-Man are going to sell, so they make a mm-hmm. shit ton of those. And those other random figures, I think they put those in those five packs. It's probably a reason they put them in a five pack is because, like, no one's going to, that if you were to make that Pigman figure, whatever his name is, Razorback, mm-hmm. whatever his name is,
yeah.
if you were to make him a individual figure, that's going to sit on the shelf. So you have to bundle them with these other ones that are more popular. So I get that, but at the same time, it's kind of,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of money to throw down.
Yes, it is.
But it's, I don't know. Continuing that rant, as someone who spends, like, for Mezco, I buy Mezco, that they can be like mm-hmm. $100 a figure or more.
Yeah,
I bought my first Hot Toys this weekend. Stupid. So, like, I'm not afraid to spend the money on a figure, something that I want. But if I know it's a Marvel Legend, if it's a Marvel Legend, then no, because those, they have their own problems. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yes. Speaking of the Hot Toys, I got my 2099 Spider-Man and Mandalorian in, and Mandalorian's great. Really cool. Yeah. He's got his claw. You know, he moves around pretty well, as much as a human and that much armor can move around. Spider-Man's mm-hmm. a little disappointing, man.
That's sad.
It's if you move him too much, his suit, because it's like all the muscle padding is in the suit, like mm-hmm. a superhero costume would be. So like, when he moves, he gets this like weird wrinkle around his neck, like this weird
turtle heads.
Yeah. So it's like, if you crunch him down, and he really, the suit's got kind of vinyl pieces. So if you keep it in a pose for too long, you'll get wrinkles in there. So I'm kind of thinking,
you got to pose him like they're on a G.I. Joe card.
Exactly. Yeah. Museum poses.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I bought him because they had, buy one, get one 50% off sale on the Sideshow website with some figures. And they had this Sideshow Boba Fett that was kind of like expanded universe. Boba Fett, he kind of had like a serape and stuff, very very kind of desert look. And I was like, well, you know, I'll pass on that. I really want this Spider-Man 2099. I love that costume. Mm-hmm. But now that I have it, I'm like, I might be returning this for that Boba Fett. Oh. I don't know.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Black Series Boba Fett when he was in his robe. He just looks like a giant Jawa.
Yeah, man. That's a cool figure too, but how were the scars on his head? I saw some where they were like the paint wasn't done right and it looked...
No, mine, the paint was a little off, so it looks like he has like gummy worms that had all the sugar licked off of them stuck to his face.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of what I saw. So, yeah, man, that's really all. And unless you've got, I know that you don't collect a lot. Were there any newer G.I. Joes that you're looking for?
I just got Stalker. That guy was pretty cool. You know, he's one that I was kind of lukewarm interested in, but then I saw the figure and they did a really good job on him. Lots of accessories, and so he's on my desk at work, posed with my other favorites.
Nice.
And I'm waiting on Tunnel Rat.
Tunnel Rat.
Yeah,
they haven't love, announced I love Tunnel that. Rat. Yeah, they haven't announced that one at all, or they have?
No, I'm just waiting on them.
They're one of these days. And they're going to make them. If they're anything like the Star Wars, that's what kills me about Star Wars, is that they're going to make like 50 iterations of a character just because. So mm-hmm. they're gonna milk that franchise. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much to choose from. Like, I don't even think they've really gotten out of the early 80s in terms of figures yet.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's kind of funny that they made, and I saw some that you had pointed out, like, what is it, Lady J or one of them, mm-hmm. they made like a retro carded version,
mm-hmm.
which I think is great, but I'm like, they have 40 of these bastards over here. She doesn't sell, yeah. Which is unfortunate, but I think it's kind of funny that they're spending time making those when they could be making these other figures, but I guess they got to make it last.
I mean, the idea is cool, but I don't have a place to store all of these big carded figures.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's not one of my favorites, so she's going to stay on the shelf too.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's what's so annoying is like, I know that Target's like this. If they, a lot of those figures have the same DCPI or UPC, so they just get like a crate of them. And if those don't move, they're staying. That's why they don't have new G.I. Joe figures at Target, because they have those six on the rack that aren't moving. Yeah. So, yeah, it's disappointing for that aspect of it. You almost, it's like Lando. There's a shit ton of Landos.
Poor Lando.
No.
Lando's the coolest guy on the show, and he sits on the shelf.
Yeah, man. I just haven't found the right Lando, I guess.
They need to do a solo version of Lando.
No, they do have a solo. I have him. That's the only Lando I have.
But he's not on the shelf.
No,
it's just old Billy Dee Williams hanging out in the corner.
Yeah, old Billy Dee Williams. Yeah, I have that. But I got him at Ollie's for $5. So
yeah.
he was on the shelf for a little while too. Anyway, well, we're going to take a quick break, catch our breath, and then we'll be back with the book review here in just a little while.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
All All right. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for giving us that moment to breathe and contemplate our futures. If there was an ad there, thanks for listening to that. If you didn't, that's fine too. Whatever. We're not getting paid.
I liked when you guys used to do the fake ads.
Yeah. The fake ads were really fun because we realized like we weren't getting any spots in there. So yeah. That was ridiculous. There was one time where I was kind of making fun of Lex because that particular recording, it was like he drank a lot of coffee, alcohol, and water all at the same time because he peed every 5 minutes. So, so it's like we kept having to pause. But yeah, it was, I think it was like Streamer Depends or something, Streamer Divers.
Anyway. When you got to drive across country to get your ex-boyfriend, wear them NASA drawers.
Yeah. Natalie Portman. We were talking about Natalie Portman. That was, she was weird in that movie too. Good script though. She acted well. So, when we were deciding, you know, that Carlos was going to be on the show, I asked him, I said, "Hey, Carlos, do you have any suggestions for the book? Because I have a lot of books that I want to read. I'm only reading for this," much like Lex says, like, "Oh, I was going to wait, you know, I'm collecting the book, but I'll wait till we do it on the show." And so, like, I had suggested a Batman book because I just wanted to read it. And I know that I'll read it if I'm reading it for the show. Otherwise, I just kind of put it off on the back burner.
Yeah.
And Carlos had mentioned A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, which is an Image book. And I don't know if you hear my chihuahua. She just goes on forever.
If you hear some crunching, my cats decided that they're going to come in and have lunch.
Oh, yeah. They got to. Yeah. They got you. We always joke at our house. Our cat jumps up when you're near because Kitty knows you've got her back if she's eating, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, Righteous Thirst for Vengeance is an Image book. And honestly, almost everything that has come out of Image that we've read, I've really, really enjoyed. So I was excited to kind of see what this one was about. And so I'm glad you suggested it. And so we'll go ahead and jump right in. And I'll go ahead and do issue one. You know, we alternate. So we'll go like that. So issue one. When an unassuming man stumbles upon a dark web contract assassin's vicious plot to kill an innocent target, he turns himself into one. The professional meets Road to Perdition in the story of a family's unlikely guardian being hunted by rich and powerful men who are used to getting away with everything. Join New York Times bestselling writer Rick Remender. I almost read Rick Reminder. He wrote Deadly Class and Black Science and Andre Araujo.
Generation. I looked up how to pronounce that.
Oh, please. Yes.
It's Araujo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
It's Portuguese. And so they have that J makes like a weird juju sound.
Nice. Thank you for saving that. Appreciate it. He illustrated Generation Gone and Man Plus for a uniquely atmospheric murder mystery with sudden bouts of brutal violence. And as we were kind of talking about before the show, we've changed things around a little bit and we've been trying to keep consistent. It depends on if we're drinking or not. We've been trying to keep consistent with how we look over these books. So it's not so spoilerific and you can still listen to the review without ruining the whole experience of reading the book. So, what were your thoughts with issue one dropping right into this story?
First, I bought this in trade. I didn't buy it in individual issues. Mm-hmm. And in the credits, they credit the designer in here. And I wanted to give a shout out to Erica
Schnatz.
The design of this book is really nice. And it's just, it's a pleasure to look at. And, you know, I work at the university that we went to, and I see a lot of students come through that do do design work, and some of them really pay attention and a lot of others don't pay attention, but just the way a book is put together and presented means a lot to me. And I think that the layout of this book is beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, big shout out to Erica Schnatz.
Erica Schnetz, you've done a great job, Erica. Yeah.
And I hope I didn't say that wrong because I did not look up how to pronounce her name.
That seems pretty straightforward. I'm sure you're
fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things, and thank you for that shout out. That's really cool. It's, a lot of those people are kind of unsung heroes. So, so one of the things that I really liked about this book was kind of the setup as far as the atmosphere. You get a lot of wordless panels, which is, you know, as Lex would say, we don't like to read here. So these wordless panels that kind of set up the environment. You don't know what's going on yet. You have little to no idea of what this story is about unless you've read the summary. So, you know, we just kind of get this interesting setup of this guy getting on a bus. You know, we're just kind of getting a feel for where he's at. We know he's in Vancouver, right? But
Well, Vancouver Chinatown, I also wrote in the notes, looks a lot like New York City Chinatown.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it looks like a lot of other Chinatowns and other big cities. And this guy did an awesome job capturing that. That feel, that congested feel where all the stores are on top of each other. They're all real condensed and cramped. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And that's a good, firsthand experience of that living in New York. It's, you can definitely, I kind of wonder, you know, with like Scott Pilgrim, when it's all in Toronto, but like the guy lived there. So it was very accurately laid out to the, and there were recognizable landmarks and stuff. So I wonder if this is just kind of a stereotypical Chinatown feel or if that is like what it's really like there. But either way, it's definitely atmospheric. We've got an idea of where we're at so that's great. it's kind of interesting. You know, at the beginning, we don't really know much about this guy. He does care. You know, there's this sequence with this pigeon, which I've been in that dilemma before, where I'm like, if you were to accidentally hit a cat with your car, do you just back over it again? Because like, it's awful, but I don't know what to do with this thing. And there's a pigeon.
I did sequence. That with a deer once.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, I don't know what to do. Because what this character says is like, what if I mess it up? What if I try to break its neck and I mess it up so it just makes it worse? Mm-hmm. And I've definitely thought that before. So we get this character that, you know, he's on the bus. He makes the bus stop to kill this bird.
Just to get out and kill bird, yeah.
Yeah, to put it out of its misery. Misses his bus. It starts raining. Like, we've got this sequence of this guy doesn't really have his shit together. You're kind of getting this feeling that he's not really...
He's going somewhere, but... I don't know. The book at the beginning was kind of like a day in the life of this dude that looks like Wong from Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he is 100% Benedict Wong.
Yeah. But you know, we don't know anything about him at all. And you know, he smokes, and he should have carried an umbrella. And I'm hoping that comes back because there's like two different places in the book where he's told he should carry an umbrella.
Well, yeah, there's even, and I think it's in a later issue, but there's even one time where he's home, he looks at his umbrella, and then he leaves. Like, he didn't pick it up. So that would be an interesting like callback round, full round thing. I'm curious how that'll work out. But he just seems kind of like a luckless fellow. But, you know, he's constantly looking at his phone. He's going to see something. We don't know.
I don't even know where he's going on this bus trip.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like he really knows where he's going either. But, I didn't notice this one panel where he's getting to the bus stop just outside of wherever he's supposed to be. And there's a car coming out. So you see the car leave the driveway, which is our antagonist for that particular thing. We don't know anything about it yet. He comes on to some pretty awful shit.
Again, we don't know why he's showing up to these people's house, but he showed up just in time to see the outcome of this brutal event. And luckily he didn't catch that first bus that he missed because he went back to kill the pigeon, because he would have been in a terrible place.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, yeah, so he comes in on that, it's terrible, but he makes some kind of connections in his head with who did it, right? Our antagonist.
When he was transferring buses, he goes to the store to buy a pack of smokes and runs into this dude that's grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of recognizes a key thing that was dropped. He knocks the guy over and he's helping him pick up his stuff. And he recognizes something there that's at this site, this gruesome murder. And but I do think it's kind of interesting. Like, the shit goes down. You can tell he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's just there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when he comes up on this, he's cleaning his fingerprints off of stuff like you see in movies. Yeah. Like, he just gets a rag and he's wiping it down. So mm-hmm. he's just kind of doing what he's seen elsewhere. You can tell he's not really professional, whatever that is. But he does leave some evidence behind.
Yeah. This is one of the weird transitions I was talking about, where the evidence he leaves behind is a bloody footprint.
Uh-huh.
But he leaves one bloody footprint outside in the rain, and, you know, did it not wash off?
I kind of thought the same thing.
Did it not wash away? Yeah.
Yeah. I very much thought the same thing, and I wonder if it's one of how one survived, because there is like a carport, and I thought, oh, well, mm-hmm. maybe it's because it's under the carport, but it doesn't, there's several of those footprints. So how does one, why are there not more under the carport? If that's the reason. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, what other thoughts do you have about this beginning?
The book itself, man, I just love the artwork. It's kind of like an Americanized manga,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it tells good story. It has good flow. I like the coloring. It's like, to use the words you were using earlier, it's very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm kind of curious what this would look like in black and white. Like, if it were a traditional like manga layout. Mm-hmm. But one thing I kind of noticed, and I looked up the artist to see what else they had done, because this very much reminds me of the Ice Cream Man series. I don't know if you ever read it.
No, I've never seen that.
So that one's a really weird, really weird series. It kind of reminds me of that and a book, I can't remember. There was another book that we had read that had a very similar art style, where it's, what was it? It was like Chicken Devil, I think. Hmm. Devil Chicken, whatever. But it's like this kind of...
I've never read that one either.
It's also very weird. But it's like sketchy. It's complete and detailed, but it's got some sketchy... I don't know. It's not like stippling, but it's, you know, like very... I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
It's the guy's artwork kind of reminds me of a little bit of Arthur Adams and a little bit of Jeff Darrow. But if you took them and filtered them through a manga comic, you know?
Yeah, I definitely see Jeff Darrow. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That's a perfect comparison. If it slimmed the lines down a little bit, cut that mm-hmm. line weight down, it's definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and added like 1,000 more details
uh-huh.
to every panel.
Yeah, Jeff Darrow's definitely, it's like, did you see that? Did you see that in the corner? I made that just for you. That was for you.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. So that issue one kind of ends on as a spoiler, they're all cliffhangers as far as like what's happening in this story. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's not a lot of, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of issue here, if that makes any sense. Like, you're reading through it, you're like, oh shit, it's over.
It's an introduction without any words. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, this is definitely a show and don't tell book.
Yes. Absolutely. One thing that I like that we see several times in the book is kind of the, I don't know, as a designer, I really like this look, but like, it's got the traditional like Marvel movie, like location, like Vancouver, British Columbia, you know?
Yeah.
I just love how that uses that negative space to really tell you where you're at. It's nothing big, but I just like the way it's done. So, all right. If we're done with issue one, I'll let you go ahead and kind of read the intro to issue two.
All right. Issue two. Sunny digs into the dark web to discover the Blue Jacket's next victim. He soon realizes he's not the only man on the job.
Yes.
My radio announcer voice.
Yeah. He soon realizes. Yeah. So, we don't really, so Carlos and I were just talking about it. We didn't even know that this main character had a name at all. We don't.
Yeah. I thought it was Wongers.
Yeah. So Sunny is our main character. And in this Blue Jackal, like, we don't really know what that is either.
Oh, dude, did I say Blue Jacket? I might have called him Blue Jacket.
Oh, that's all right. He doesn't exist. He's in dark web, so I guess it's okay. And I'm trying to think if there were any. Yeah, man, I don't. The only thing that I saw, and this is back in issue one, so forgive me, but the only thing I saw that may have had anything to do with his past or made any sense is he's looking at his phone and there's this sex trafficking thing. It's like someone's accuser, Andrew's accuser disappears, FBI say sex trafficking case open. So, and he kind of looks disgusted, and that's it. That's all we get for this character. And, you know, we get to issue two and it's very much the same. You know, we're still, I mean, there, like you said, there's a lot of details in here. He sees something about test results, but man, I don't know.
I mean, he seems super paranoid. He's like looking over his shoulder. He's making sure the door's locked in his apartment. He's, you know, peepholing the peephole, and he keeps picturing and flashbacking to this guy that he ran into at the grocery store that he thinks committed these murders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, this is where the book starts getting weird too. You know, right. Like, reminds me of John Wick in this next part.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. He moves some furniture and he pulls up a board and he's got like this flash drive. He plugs it in and now that's how he accesses the dark web. So I don't know shit about the dark web. I've been too afraid. look at it.
Just not interested in getting all caught up in any of that nonsense. There's nothing good on there. I'm sure there's good stuff, but there's nothing good for me.
Right.
Middle-aged man living in Wichita Falls doesn't need to be looking at the dark web.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. It's a curiosity thing though. That's what really, yeah. You're like, damn.
Yeah.
I don't need it, but I'm kind of curious.
Well, I'll wait for you to do the review on the next episode.
Yeah, the review of the dark web. Yeah. So he plugs in this USB and we see the victims. You know, he plugs it in, he's looking at this job, and we see these victims from the first issue. Mm-hmm. And it says on there, job status completed, worker Blue Jackal. So we know at this point that he's the Blue Jackal, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Again, it took me a minute because I don't like the way they have it set up. They have job status. The worker is the Blue Jackal and the operator is Mayor Oak. And I don't even know who Mayor Oak is. And so I was confused because, again, I don't surf the dark web. So mm-hmm. I don't know what a worker is or an operator. And you know, it was a little confusing at first. And I did a few flipping back and forth my second read around just to figure out who's who and what's what.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, the code name and everything, it just doesn't, you know, we have no backstory for that. So it's like, what the hell does any of this mean? But as he's clicking through, he's looking for a similar operator. So he goes for Mayor Oak again. Mm-hmm. He finds a new contract and he finds this young woman, and the description is like, inhale lived, send message, details upon acceptance, police will not respond. So we know that there's some kind of inside there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as End Hell Lived, I'm like, damn, that's like kind of creepy, right? Is this going to be a nice thing? Like,
I don't know. Like, what kind of life is this girl living?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, is this going to be like pleasant? Well, not dying is not pleasant, but or being murdered is not pleasant. But is this going to be like a long torturous thing? What does that mean? So yeah, this second one's definitely leading more into, we're learning more about the world. We get some cops that are at the first murder place. And you know, one of them's kind of overlooking things.
Yeah. The cops crack me up because, you got, you know, the traditional detective in the suit, you got the coroners that are coming in and doing, you know, checking, not the coroners, but the CSI inspectors checking everything out. And then you got this dude jogging up looking like he's been working out, but apparently he's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the only time you see him in this whole book is you just see this dude that said, I'd rather jog up to the crime scene than drive up in a suit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's dressed very much like Wesley Snipes in White Man Can't Jump.
I was thinking that's perfect because I was thinking this looks like Herschel Walker from Georgia.
Oh shit, yeah, definitely. I see that too. I would say closer look wise, yes, closer to Herschel Walker for sure.
But dressed like Wesley Snipes.
But that's another thing, man. Like with the art, you know, we get into this and the details on these guys are really great. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really like the design. This guy's really great at drawing clothing, I think. I've always had a lot of struggles, so it's amazing to see people that do it well and understand it.
Yeah, make people look like they're actually in clothing instead of, you know, drawn muscly and then have clothing painted on by seams and stitches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We get another moment with Wongers where he's, you know, this is the moment where he looks at the umbrella as he's about to exit because he's thinking about calling the cops, but then he remembers like police aren't going to respond to this. So
yeah,
he decides, I guess, to take this into his own hands. But I do like that callback to the umbrella, and I'm with you. I'm really curious to see how that's going to work out.
Yeah, he's going to do something badass with an umbrella.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. So far, you know,
again, this artwork is awesome. Like he's traveling to he's walking around town before he makes a decision on what he's going to do, and these panels where he's just visiting locations in the city are awesome.
Yes, definitely. They were really, really nice and very, very detailed. Yeah, they're really great. The atmosphere is a character of its own, you know, it's treated like it. So we learn a little bit more about this character when he goes to visit his mother. But you know, you can still tell that he doesn't really know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't get the interaction with the person at the front desk of the nursing home. It was weird, you know, especially considering how he does come off as an amateur at doing this, but he has, you know, a secret panel and access to the dark web and, you know, a bag full of money. That's weird. If he's not part of this circle of assassins, mm-hmm. then why does he have access to all of this stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I wondered about that too. Like, did he get paid beforehand for that job that he didn't complete? Someone else did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one, you know, he's going to that lady's apartment to do something. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't even know if he's a protagonist at this point. Like he did think about calling the police, but that's all we got. But we get this interaction outside the apartment where he sees another assassin, I guess. Somebody kind of shows their gun. He's afraid. He's sweating, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems super nervous for, like, this is his first job, almost.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, no, I just wanted to talk to you. It's like,
Mm-hmm.
oh shit, I just realized this is kind of fucked up. That guy takes a Viagra. It's
Yeah.
gotta be. I didn't realize
Yeah, because
that.
it's the pill.
Yeah. So yeah, this guy he's meeting with, I guess, End Hal Lived, is not going to be a pleasant experience for this lady.
No, I don't think so.
And the guy offers him, he's like, oh, this Viagra gets the, well, you don't know what it, I didn't realize until just now. It's a blue pill.
Yeah, it's a blue pill in the shape of one.
Yeah. And he
But it
said,
looks like he's only got one in his the way he pours it out into his hand, it's like he only has one. Are they supposed to split it or something?
Yeah, that's awful. I didn't realize how awful this was until just now.
Oh yeah.
I
That
get.
the murder scene was pretty gruesome,
Yeah.
and it looks like this next one is about to be just as gruesome.
Right. And it makes all the more sense now because the guy offers Wong this pill, Sonny, this pill. And he Sonny just looks at it like, I don't know what the hell that is about. He's like, oh, didn't mean to offend, which would make a lot of sense. You know, don't want to offend someone's manhood by offering them a Viagra. Now he you can really tell that at this point, we all knew he was an amateur, but now he you can tell he's definitely not the right guy, right? He's like out of place.
Completely out of place. Like he just looks petrified. And again, looking back what I was talking about, the art and the design of the book, he's visibly paler than he was at the beginning of the book. Because, he's scared, and that's a pretty cool callback.
They're walking into this apartment, his heart's pumping out of his chest, you know, he doesn't know what the hell he's getting into. And even as this is going on, you know, they go into this chick's place, like kind of intimidator, but you can tell he doesn't know why the hell he's there. But I did think this was an interesting setup, like when they turn off the radio and she realizes someone is there, that they're doing kind of the badass guy standing back to back thing. But you know, this other assassin looks like he's meant to be there. And then Sonny is like, like, I have no idea why I'm here. But I just thought that that was really, really interesting posing for that.
Again, with the design, I love the breaks in between issues where they just have like the horizontal stripes with just the eyes of the characters that are in the book. And as I'm reading this, I was playing the music from Kill Bill, where you get the two people see each other and then the sirens start going off. Like that's like my inner monologue right now whenever I see this.
Definitely. Yeah, I can definitely see that. That was issue two. We're ramping up. We know something's going crazy, so let's go ahead and we'll move to issue three. Sonny's attempt to be a hero leaves him beaten and bloody, but he manages to save Mayor Oak's next victim, Neva. Little does Sonny know she was only half of the equation. Now Sonny and Neva, I don't know, must return to the apartment where she was almost killed in order to save her son. So this particular issue, the intro here is like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's very eyes wide shut.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's always crazy. Image has been like the weirdest about surprise breasts, and so this one was just like the dehumanizing, very ugh, I don't
Oh,
like it.
very, very gross. The character that's perpetrating the grossness reminds me of a cross between one of those weird old man kids in Akira
Was thinking the same
and
thing, yeah.
Louis Anderson.
Yes, definitely. I
Do you remember
saw.
little Louis?
Oh yeah. And I thought the same thing. I was like, ah, it looks like one of those old man kids. That's crazy.
And he's gross.
Yeah, he's obviously he's
the
got
villain.
Well, and he's in French Polynesia. He's like on his own private island, this giant compound, the yacht. Like, this is a very wealthy individual or group of individuals. This could be like an encampment. Like, this is Jeffrey Epstein vibes.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's on the other end of the line. We zoom back and it's our two assassins, and the guy's like, yeah, that's her. As it, she's just standing there while he takes a picture and like has this conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of, I'm like, how long did this conversation take with this Mayor Oak feller?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, here's another one of those weird panels I was talking about, when the assassin goes after Neva or Neva, and it looks like that last panel on that page looks like he was surprised, but is he angry? Is he surprised? I don't get it. Like, you see what I'm talking about? Like, he starts coming at her, she goes at him with a knife. Mm-hmm. He stops her easily, disarms her, and then he makes this weird face in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I flipped the page, I thought Wongers went and stabbed him in the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But that's like the only real negative criticism I have for this whole book, that one panel.
This.
But.
Yeah, and this whole sequence of events looks way more animated than the rest of the book, in my opinion. Like,
yes,
we get these very anime facial expressions, like that one, and then furthermore, when he gets splashed with the hot water and she makes a couple of the same faces, like, we get these really overextended jaws and things like that, like these really crazy faces, but then it kind of centers back on reality. So,
yeah.
I do think it's kind of funny, like how patient this guy, well, not funny, but how patient this guy is with Sonny, because he's supposed to be this professional, and this guy's like, why aren't you doing anything? You're just standing there.
Yeah.
But also wonder, I'm like, damn, why are you just standing there? Like, you're not helping her out.
He's frozen. He's completely frozen in fear, which again, harkens back to the last issue. Well, why does he have dark web assassin thumb drives and a bag full of money? Like, he has the setup that makes me believe he was a professional at one point, but he's not acting like it.
Not knowing at all, the assumption that I had was that he somehow killed the Blue Jackal. Like, his family was affected. He obviously doesn't have any family anymore other than his mother, but he had a picture of possibly a wife and a child in his house.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought, well, maybe something happened there and then he killed this Blue Jackal fellow and now he's got all this access. But again, like, we have no idea.
That's the thing that keeps me turning the page. I want to see what's going to happen next, because there's parts missing. Like, technically we don't even know his name, because they haven't said it up to this point in the book yet. We only know from the story description that we got from Image.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we finally get this moment where he's going to take some action, which I imagine if I were in that situation, I'd probably be frozen with fear too. I would say that that's pretty realistic. He is shocked. He doesn't know what's going on. But he finally picks up the knife, but he is like slow.
Not good. Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely think he would be able to get this guy. And he does stab him in the hand, knock the gun out of his hand, but he's getting his shit rocked. By a guy who's a professional, you know, and he just kind of, he's a luckless guy who every once in a while it works out.
Yeah. He stumbles into his own life, into his luck.
Yeah. So, you know,
and that's how he gets out of it.
Exactly.
You know, just a lucky shot.
Yeah. He stabs this guy with these keys, and he's still getting his ass beat, but the keys fall out of the wound and the guy just bleeds out, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very lucky. I thought this was kind of interesting. You know, okay, this is going to sound very pretentious. You and I, we went to art school. We know what foreshortening is and stuff like this, but this is a very interesting panel that I didn't really have a problem with at first, but now I kind of do with this assassin.
With the guy like, sitting out on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think his feet are big enough for that panel to make sense.
They're not. I mean, they're no Liefeld feet, but they're kind of tiny.
Yeah, he looks like Cotton Hill. Maybe he lost his shins or something.
Yeah, that's a great way. Now I'm never going to look at this panel again.
Another. I mean, kind of gross thing that I didn't really notice is like his pants are undone. He was ready to go. You know, it's kind of like, ugh, I hate that. Yeah. That's the worst. But yeah, man, Wong does his thing. He picks up the girl. He's taking her outside. He's obviously not used to picking up full grown people, you know, because he's like exhausted.
Yeah. Fireman's carry is the best way to do that.
But he's like out, you know, they're away from danger and everything. The girl wakes up because he's an idiot and like dropped his burning cigarette on her foot.
Yeah. So she freaks out.
Yeah, she freaks out. They wreck this car, who is the murderer's car, by the way, the Civic that he had. But then freaking you left the kid behind, man. She had a son and he's in the apartment. He didn't think to look. And his only excuse is that, hey, it wasn't, you know, there was nothing on the contract that said that you had a child.
Yeah. Yeah. But that kid must really sleep heavy because she had the music blaring and then there's all this bumping and thumping of two grown ass men fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Really crazy.
Yeah.
It had a soundproof room. But he's got another access to the dark web. I thought that was, I didn't notice that at first. He pulls out like a dongle for his phone that lets him access the dark web through the online.
Yeah.
And it already knows that he fucked up.
He's screwed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets dark web hacked on his phone.
Yeah. This was the moment that I definitely knew that this guy was nothing. Like he couldn't he wasn't even like a previous assassin. And I only say that because he Googles how to buy a gun.
I know. I need to, like I said, I need to keep going with this book to see where it's going. Cause I'm like, come on.
Yeah. It's the craziest thing. And maybe that may, so we live in Texas. Everybody in Texas knows how to buy a gun. So maybe.
I mean, you just go to Walmart.
Yeah. So maybe maybe this is like a regional thing that doesn't make a lot of sense to us because of where we live. Texas, I'm surprised they don't give them away with birth certificates.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from New York and it's really hard to get one there. But even I know not to Google how to get a gun.
Yeah. That gets you on a list is all that does.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, they have this hard decision of like, you know, he's like, he's like, I can't do anything about your son. And then he's like, well, I guess we're going to go get him. You know, they were out of danger. They were out of all these problems.
I mean, you know, being a parent, I would say the same thing. I'm going back to get my kid.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's no question there. I just think it's funny for him. Who probably had a child himself. He's like, well, all right.
I mean, you could always make another one, right? No.
But yeah, like you said, man, we get back to this. We're back in the apartment. We get this kind of view. And the son is sound asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's kind of, by this view, he looks like he's like early teenager, but I don't know.
Maybe 13.
Yeah. But anyway,
that's the end of that issue.
That's the end of that issue. But I continue to love the lack of dialogue in a lot of these scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of sets everything up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we are, that was issue 3. We are on to issue 4.
All right. Issue 4. How far would you go to protect a stranger's child? The race to get out of town narrows as a jackal goes on the prowl for Sunny and Neva.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I guess the jackal is the dude from the convenience store that killed the previous, killed that one family from issue 1.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it took me to issue 4 to realize that the jackal wasn't Sunny.
Right. Yeah. I assumed. Yeah. Okay. So that blows my theory out of the water. Because I assume that he got rid of whoever this guy is, but, and then took his shit. But yeah, I guess the jackal's this creepy blonde man.
Yep.
I don't know. Interesting.
And the dude is creepy, as we'll see in this issue.
Yeah. Real creepy.
Yeah.
He must have stolen his phone or something, because we'll talk about it through that issue when it comes to that point. But, the first scene we get is the cops. They figured out the footprint, I guess.
They actually say how they found out who he was. They got Sunny's fingerprints off of the items that he purchased at the convenience store when he, remember when they ran into each other,
uh-huh,
and he helps him pick up his groceries.
Oh yeah.
So they pulled his fingerprints off of that because they made a comment on it in one of the very few dialogue interactions in the book.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. On Blue Jackal's tools. I see. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And this is when we get our first view that cop is crooked as hell. Because they've tossed his, they haven't found his secret compartment, but they tossed his apartment. There's like a hacker there that's tracking through all this shit. And now this detective is having a conversation with Mayor Oak, who's like doing heroin or something. Didn't notice that lady was injecting him with something.
Yeah. Just gross.
Yeah. He's just like,
this whole, every time they show Mayor Oak, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Real gross. He kind of looks like Ron White too.
Yeah. Oh man. I've got a picture with myself and Ron White. I'm going to have to erase it now.
Man. And this is, so that's one thing about these image books that we've been reading as I like them, because they take it farther than a lot of the, you're going to see with Warner Brothers or Disney owned products. Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, it's like, ugh, that's a lot. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it definitely, this guy's an over the top, like gross Bond villain.
Yeah. It definitely sets an atmosphere and you're not rooting for the bad guys in this book.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely not.
Like I like the Joker, and sometimes I see myself rooting for the Joker, but I can't root for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So you talk about weird panels. This is probably the one that I had a problem with. We get where they screech around the corner. They're about to stop at his apartment, at her apartment, Neva's apartment. And it almost looks like she tries to jump out of it while it's still moving, because we get this sequence of they're screeching around the corner. She's got the door open, and it looks like he's trying to hold her from flying out of the car.
Yeah.
When really he's oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking the same thing. If that thought bubble, not thought bubble, but dialogue bubble wasn't there, it almost looks like he's pushing her out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So if they actually were to reverse, I know it's, who the hell am I? I didn't publish a book, but but if they actually took the two panels next to it and put them on the other side, then it would flow better.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
Yeah.
And it's almost that whole sequence, if they had moved those over, those one below there, and and that one below next to where she's actually running out of the car,
yeah,
that all makes more sense, I think, than the way it's sequenced right now. But again, you know, it's fine to be a comic critic and not put out a book. We're okay with that here. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that
the rest of the book makes up for it. It's just that's just a little distracting.
Definitely. So, yeah, he's basically saying like, hey, man, you're going to run up there, whatever, but they could already be in there. You know, this was another moment. Like, you basically, your son might be dead. We don't know.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Maybe leave him. I don't know.
F them kids.
And we get a little flash of this green car that we've seen previously that was coming out of the long driveway of that the first.
Yeah, but you got to go all the way back to issue one for that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't notice it there, which I didn't, it was the second reading. So we get a tiny portion of this person's face that's waiting in the car. Sonny notices him, but not really triggering any thoughts.
Yeah.
And so Xavier's awake now and he just walks out. There's like a dead dude. What kind of timing is that? He was dead asleep and now he's in there in the living room with a dead guy. No idea what's going on, but mom comes up the stairs right at that moment.
Yeah. They did some weird things with the size of the kid.
Yeah.
Again, you said something about his, him looking like a early teen in his bed. And in one panel, he looks real tiny, like, you know, just a 8-year-old. And another panel, he looks a little bigger, but
yeah,
it's okay.
And that's why I brought that up, because of how young he looks in this issue. Now it's like they kind of retro aged him. They were kind of figuring out what they were going to do there.
Yeah.
And then Sonny, I don't know why he left it, but Sonny picks up the gun that was left from the other assassin.
I mean, that's the only smart thing he's done so far.
Yeah, it's just funny that he had to go back. You know, he probably should have grabbed it before. I find it interesting the way it's placed on that tile. It's almost like an item pickup from a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, that is that's a good observation there. Maybe the Blue Jackal was downstairs waiting for them to come back because they knew the kid was there and he placed it there on purpose.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah, I can see it.
I mean, he is crazy, so.
Yeah. As he's, what I really want to know what's going on is, like, we get a lot of wordless panels again. They're taken off in the Civic and he sees the guy. And the guy has his phone out. And earlier, he throws the phone out when he gets hacked. But I wonder with this, like, is he filming him?
I think he's filming him.
Okay.
Because remember how the mayor got a picture of Neva?
Yeah.
From the dead dude? And so I think he's just filming it to be as creepy as hell.
Yeah.
He probably videotapes all his murders.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know, he's so expressionless. That's what makes him creepy. Like, I don't know. He doesn't look like a killer. He just looks like a guy. But he's just so expressionless.
Just dead face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Everybody else is freaking out. And you can tell that they're exhausted and both mentally and physically exhausted. And here comes this calm faced dude that looks like he just got out of church.
Yeah. Yeah. He got that top button. That's how you know somebody's crazy. No tie and top button. Killer. Here's another. So this is probably one of the only real problems I had with the book is they're running away from this guy, driving down an alley. And the alley's blocked by just a random person, kind of this homeless looking man. And to me, it lingers on this situation for too long.
Yeah, it does linger way too long.
Like, it just seems like the guy's right behind him but they're having a full blown argument with this guy blocking the alley. You know,
yeah, this hobo and a pickup truck.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It's
drawn really well, but it's weird.
Yeah, it lingers. And they were like, oh, we need a couple extra pages in there. This guy comes up. He's got a knife, which you know he's creepy because he's got a damn knife. He likes to see it. You know, he's... And Sonny's trying to defend his family, telling him to run and everything. He goes to fire the damn gun and he doesn't think to check the safety.
Yeah. Such an amateur. He's no pro.
Yeah, definitely.
Why do you have that dark web key fob? I don't know, but...
Yeah, how did he... I don't know. It's so crazy. But this is even crazier. It's like, as someone who understands gun safety, you can tell, like, he's about to fire this weapon that he's probably... He may not have ever shot a gun before.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding this gun one-handed. He's going to fire at the two people he's trying to save. Essentially, because they're running in the same direction.
Same direction, yeah.
So, oof.
I'm like, don't miss.
Yeah, this is not the guy that's going to save you. Like, you're probably better off on your own. Man, some of these panels are really, really great, though. Mm-hmm. It's all pretty great, but this one especially, like, they're running to get away. This creepy guy pulls Neva and her son Xavier off the fence, but Xavier looks like he's about to get a major concussion.
Yeah.
But we get this panel where it's just like the buildings and the way everything is framed, like Neva and Xavier are closest to the camera. We get the creepy guy and then Sonny's like way back in the back, but we get this nice solid like blue panel behind him. It's not too busy with whatever's going on the other side of the alley or buildings or anything like that. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
This very focused image, which I really, really love. And subsequent panels are like that too on the next page. Just these, they're singled out with solid colors and portraits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that this interaction with the Blue Jackal of Sunny is creepy. It made my skin crawl when I was reading it. Did you get it?
Oh, yeah. He's just repeating back. Man. Yeah. That being said, though, Sonny kind of like, he seems like it really lets him get to, it's like, just shoot the damn gun and just shoot at him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. The gun is shaking. You can tell that he's never fired a gun.
Yeah. But once again, you know, just like in the first interaction with when Sonny's in the building with Neva, like Neva comes in clutch and bashes this guy over the head with a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had mentioned earlier, but Sonny mentions it now. It's like his eyes are just dead. Like he mentions his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Man. Homeless guy gets in another person's
Mike.
Homeless Mike. Gets in somebody in the cop's way too, as this whole chase sequence. There's just people are running around town. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how fast everybody's going and how far apart they are. That's
this homeless guy just needs to stay out of traffic.
Yeah, man. Oh, he is definitely getting in the way. So we finally, our old man baby, Ron White guy, he's finally taking some action. He puts out a hit on Sonny and the Neva and Xavier, which is like, oof.
Yep. And there's lots of people coming after him. So you can tell that this book should last a few more issues beyond this book, because there's all of these people that Sonny's going to have to fight.
Yeah. And like you brought up earlier, this is definitely John Wick, but with like me as the protagonist, you know, like as someone that doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out. And I kind of wonder, you know, if this will transform into like Neva's kind of, well, I guess when we get to the next issue, but I just kind of wonder if she seems to be the one that's taking the lead on everything. So
yeah, she's definitely the one that is cooler under pressure and will act instead of freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all right. That is issue four.
That was issue four.
Yeah, we're at the last issue of this particular book. So in this collection. So take it away.
Sunny tries to protect Neva and Xavier at all costs. It's just a weird pause in the way it was written out.
Yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I don't know what to do with my hand. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, chapter five opens up in Murrayville, British Columbia.
And that's another thing. I feel like you don't really need it. And maybe you could do some outside research, but I kind of, you know, like I have no idea how far away from Vancouver Murrayville is, you know, that means nothing to me. So it could be kind of interesting if you knew, maybe if they would put like a distance marker, like this far away from Vancouver, just to kind of know like how far they've been traveling since their last interaction with this other guy. But they pull up on like a biker bar in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like some podunk town out in the sticks is what it looks like to me, because they are far from the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the drawings that show it, it's the only building sitting on a plot of land and trees around it. Yeah, it's that again. The artist is really good about creating an atmosphere.
Yeah. He. You
know, I've been to these gross bars.
One thing I've kind of noticed about his style is something that I think you, I, and Herschel always did, and they're like organic Greeblies. And so, like Greeblies are those like weird, you know what Greeblies are. But this, he puts a lot of like stains on stuff. Like there's this weird like, kind of like wash. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. But.
Yeah, the way he draws everything looks dirty and grimy, almost like a 80s, 70s movie.
Yeah. So as we've been looking at, I kind of noticed that there's a lot of that, you know, those organic kind of shapes just to give it something. So it's not just the side of a building. Like it really gives it some character, but not everything has to be dirty. So I don't know. But yeah, as we get here, like Wong seems Sunny seems to know kind of what's going on a little bit. Cause even Neva's like, okay, why are we even here? He's like, oh, it'll be fine. Like we're going to get this figured out. It's like, will ya? Cause it kind of seems like we're in the deep shit right now. I do think it's kind of interesting. He walks in the bar and he's like, hey, it's good to see you again. Like, you were so drunk the last time I saw you. And he's like, what are you talking about?
The bartender seems to be helping him out. But I want to know why he even knows to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially now, because he was, you know, apparently he figures it out from the dark web, but he threw away his other phone. So did he get another phone? Did he use her phone? Like, how is he on the dark web?
I think this is where he was going before she woke up and figured out that they need to go back for her kid.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But yeah, the bartender, he says, like, I just saved your life. Because if you notice in the panels, all these guys are staring at him like, well, who the hell is this guy? And then they relax, you know, after he mentions that he'd been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So
but yeah, he looks way out of place at this bar.
Yeah, but it is kind of, I mean, his whole character, and I was going to mention this earlier, like he smokes a lot. He dress, you know, he's wearing a suit jacket and everything, but he reminds me a lot of like Old Boy, you know, the character from Old Boy.
Oh, that was a good one too.
So he looks like a badass, but then we keep getting these moments where he's like shaking, he's scared, you know, it's just kind of.
Yeah, he's like super nervous at the bar and The bartender pours him a tall shot.
Oh yeah, that's a big glass of liquor.
Yeah. Pours him a pint of whiskey.
But yeah, he's talking to the bartender. This was one of those moments where I didn't know if the bartender knew why he was watching the TV, because he's watching the TV, he sees the report, like he's wanted by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And he's freaking out about that because he didn't know. And bartender's like, it's pretty rude to be, you know, watching TV while I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting interaction there. Again, the bartender saving his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of strange stuff. We had this guy staring at him when they pulled up. He comes into the bar and bartender's like, yeah. He says,
yeah, watch out for that dude.
Yeah, shit. The guy just came in and it's like, who? Was he a scruffy looking guy? Yeah. So anyway, they kind of talk about this passport situation. Mm-hmm. The bartender apparently makes counterfeit passports or whatever. And he kind of lays down, I'll be here at 3 a.m., 10 grand, all cash, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Take the photos with this phone, send it to the only number that's in the phone.
Yeah, it's like they have this stuff all worked out already. They know what they're doing, and he's somehow involved in it. But again, we don't know how he's involved with all of this.
Yeah. You know, there's this other panel. Xavier seems... What is the deal with this kid? All right, because they have to go get him. He's sleeping, then he's awake. Now we get this panel where they're taking pictures of the passports, full sleeping again in the back of the car. Yeah.
I don't know. Narcoleptic kid.
Yeah, what's the... I mean, he was there just to push the plot forward. You know, what's the rest of this kid's story?
Not sure.
Yeah. The ending here... pretty crazy. I don't know what bartender seemed pretty cool with him at first, and now he's acting real crazy.
Yeah.
Which I'm
trying to double cross him or something, but you know, it's like he wants to help him, he wants to do the thing, but he also wants to double cross him, and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, I really don't know what this guy... I don't know what the hell's going on. It really does. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't say that I really like that tonal shift, because he seemed cool and now he's like real crazy. Yeah. He's like, give me the money right now and then I'll throw the passports. He's like, can we do it at the same time? He's like, listen, I will fucking shoot you in the face. Like, just throw the $10,000. Like, whoa, man. Crazy. Yeah. But
and then, you know, things calm down just for a second, and Wong turns kind of into a badass.
Well, yeah, a little bit, but you know, he mentions, I know who you are. And so there were lots of little story beats that I missed, like thinking the other guy thought he was the Blue Jackal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought maybe this guy thought he was the Blue Jackal as well, like thinking he was this badass assassin. But now I think that the reason he's acting this way is because he saw the news report that he was a serial killer. And so maybe this guy is kind of not an asshole. He's just trying to keep a serial killer from escaping. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, maybe that would, I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, that would bring it around and make it not so bad anymore. But then, you know, here comes Wong pulling out the pocket sand and shoots him in the head.
Yeah, man, that was woof. Yeah, he shoots him right in the face. And these other guys are like, oh, shit. Darren? Yeah, it's crazy. And he's like, Wong is already moving, and this guy's still falling from being shot in the face, which is insane. Yeah, these guys are out to get him now. And I really, at this point, and again, Neva... coming in clutch. She's driving the car to pick him up, hits these guys. Like, what the hell is going on? Yep.
Power slide and says, you know, come with me if you want to live.
Right. But so this is kind of where I was getting at is like, I thought that maybe the, if I didn't know what happened in this panel right here, I would think that maybe she's going to be the protagonist saving him throughout the whole thing. But
yeah,
but she gets, nope. Yeah, she gets shot in the neck and seemingly the heart by these guys, you know, and then they get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I kind of wondered, because it ends pretty quickly after this. Yeah. I kind of wondered if he doesn't succeed in saving them at all.
I think he might. Well, it doesn't even show it. He could have saved the kid, but yeah, he's barely crawling out of there with his own life.
Yeah, he yells at Xavier and he's like, wake up, you know, let's get out of here. As these guys are descending on them, great panel work here.
Mm-hmm.
This whole page is great, wordless. Same with Nick. But then there's some other force at play. He pulls out a gun. You think it's him, but then it's like, tuck, 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 tuck. It's like, it's obviously some kind of machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All those rednecks get their shit served.
Yeah. But then we get this guy, that guy earlier. Yeah.
The gruff guy from the bar.
Yeah. He's the one that saved him. And I think it's kind of interesting. He's like, don't shoot. And he's like, man, I'd be doing you a favor if I shot you right now. So I'm kind of curious what the game is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
But yeah, that's the end of that. But it left me wanting more.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, and I know they're kind of restricted as far as collections are. Like after we're done with this, it probably moves in a whole nother direction. So they wanted to end it at 5 issues.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I'm like, damn, I wish I knew what was going on a little bit. Yeah. Just an inkling. I'm intrigued. Like you said, I'm willing to come back for the next volume or the next couple of issues. But I also, it's kind of like, you know, when people are like, oh, you got to watch this show. And it's like, well, I heard it wasn't that great. Well, you get past the first 2 seasons and it's amazing. It's like, oh, well. Yeah. I'm not going to watch 2 seasons of a show just to get to the amazing part. So, you know, this is only 5 issues. It wasn't super long, but I would like it to start making sense anytime now. It would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a quick read. Like I don't read fast, and I think I read in like half an hour.
Yes. Yeah. It is really fast. It's only, by this count, 127 pages. And that's taking out all the interludes. So it's really not long at all. But I don't know.
I mean, it's a cool looking book. It is drawn exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if they do a larger omnibus version, it would be a little more, put together.
Yeah.
Because every issue ends on a cliffhanger, and even the end of the trade here.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know, man. It's I do like the art. And one of the things I really like about this book is the writer obviously is putting together the scenario, but it's funny. He's not working super hard as far as dialogue is concerned. Words are only... Like
it's how I would do a book since I'm not a writer.
Yeah, it's like words are only in there when necessary. This is definitely kind of an action film, kind of like the John Wick stories, you know, like the John Wick is like what the hell is this? Is just an action movie, you know. And probably like the later Fast, I haven't seen any of them, but the later Fast and Furious is like, what is this? You're just spitting out scenarios is all you're doing. Like, what is the actual theme here? So I don't know. Let's just talk about, I mean, we talked about it several times, but artwork, what's your overall grade? I mean,
artwork, like, are we talking grade on your toastometer?
No. Okay. Just in general,
out of 10, I'd give it a 9. And the only reason I'm not giving it a 10 is because there's these weird interactions and weird panels that throw me off a little bit. But when it looks like he takes his time to do, there's not even a splash page in this book. But you know, some larger panels where the art does all the work for you, they're awesome.
Yeah, it really seems he packs a lot of details in these, because like you said, there's no splash panel where you're getting this whole, what is it, 11 by 17 or whatever board here to draw on. Like he's utilizing all of his space for these smaller panels, which is pretty crazy. And this might be all digital, but still.
Still, yeah. I mean, you know, they create an atmosphere. You feel like, hey, this could be Chinatown, or this is some dude's grubby apartment, or this is some skeezy dive bar, and you get all of that. Yeah, and I'm wondering if the person that drew this, Andre, if he had references for faces, because everybody that has a significant part in the book looks like they are somebody in real life.
Yeah, I would say probably. Yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying. Like everyone is someone.
Yeah, because even that creepy detective looks like someone. Yeah, I can't put my finger on him, but he looks like some dude that I've seen in a movie.
Yeah, some dude. Yeah, definitely.
Some dude.
Story wise, I'm with you on the art. I think it's really great. I think just some shuffling with the artwork, with those panels could help a lot. But as far as the work itself, it's really amazing. Story wise, I'm ready to get some answers. So
It's
I'm
kind of dragging, but you know, it's
yeah.
only five issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how many issues are in the entire series, but
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to at least just to I can't. It's like
yeah, I
you're
can't leave it here.
yeah. I gotta have something. So I'm definitely gonna be reading the volume two. So I guess at this point, are you ready to grade this bad boy with the handy dandy toaster
Yeah,
chart? Toast chart.
toaster chart. You read it. You tell me what your grade is and why, and I'll see where mine would fall into that, because I see the chart, I have it in front of me, but I don't know how best to utilize it.
Well, so like I kind of told you before, the chart is like kind of a whatever. It's really like, because like a lighter toast could mean that you really love the art, but you didn't like the story. You wanted to see more of the story. But generally, all of our grades hover around the same area, so it's like, because some of these like G2 is like almost exactly like D4, they're very close. So, or even G3, they're very similar. So, man, for this book, I'm gonna give it, a A5. Okay. And the reason I'm gonna give it is like, okay, that toast, it'll melt your butter. It's a good piece of toast, not overdone. Book has some amazing artwork, but man, I'm gonna have to get some story. Because at this point we're getting highlights of what could be the overarching theme, but we don't have anything concrete yet. And so for this particular five issues, I'm gonna have to give it a what I say, A5.
A
That's
five. Okay.
me.
I was looking at a 2D. You
All
know,
right.
it'll work. It'll get my I could put my eggs on it. I can melt my butter. I can make a sandwich out of it. But it's not it.
Yeah, we're not quite right there yet. And the worst thing about toast is you
You
can't
can't go
like
and put it in again.
you're right. Yeah, like this is it. This is all you get. Yeah.
know, the next slice might be better, but we'll see when we do volume two.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've heard it here, folks. Righteous Thirst for Vengeance. It's definitely worth a read or a look, just to see some great artwork, definitely. And it's gonna draw you in, but I don't know. We'll see what the next volume carries. Carlos, thank you so much for being on the show. I know, and taking the time out of your day. We're doing this on a Sunday at like from from 2 to 4. So like,
yeah,
we've been talking for a little while, but I definitely appreciate you coming on and filling Lex's seat for a little while. And Lex,
well, I hope it feels better. And yeah, I appreciate you asking me to do this. It's been fun.
Definitely.
Like hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. We see each other often, kind of, but we rarely get a chance to converse. So it's really great to talk to you on this. So, yeah. So, we're circling the drain. Just, I don't say that very often. That's Lex's thing, but we're circling the drain. So, we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot.